Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And a good Thursday afternoon, everybody. It is good to be with you. This is Friday Eve, as some people like to call it, which reminds me, Festivus Friday is tomorrow. Mm. Make sure to tune into that at 5 o'clock. Did I hear a dramatic change in the weather?
Yes.
What the hell is going on around here?
This is almost June, and what is about to happen?
Well, you know what happens when it really warms up around here and it's not middle of summer? A big change is going to come.
Right.
It's supposed to be like 88 degrees today, hot and humid, and then a little bit cooler tomorrow in the 70s, and then the bottom drops out, and we're going to be having highs in the 50s and 60s through the weekend.
That actually sounds nice.
I know. I think it's going to be rather pleasant. It's going to drop down in the 40s overnight, a couple of nights.
You know there are like 13 seasons here in the Midwest.
Yes.
So what we were experiencing was false summer. Now we're breaking back into second spring.
Got it.
Is it second or third spring? I can't remember.
I need to keep track.
Also heard it is the season for BAM under the Independence Avenue Bridge.
Oh, yes, there is.
I mean, that season never changes.
I'm telling you, I have lost count.
Summer, spring, winter, fall.
I believe, and Sam, you're going to have to help me here. I believe the Independence Avenue Bridge is now 8 or 9-0.
It's getting up there, yeah.
For the season, we are only 5 months into the year. Today's victim, and this one, I almost feel bad, didn't even stand a chance.
Mm-hmm.
This was a City of Lawrence trash truck.
So clearly a little bit lost.
The bridge ain't a Jayhawk.
Gobble, gobble.
Would you like to describe for our listeners, Scott, the level of destruction we are talking about here? And I do know the Independence Avenue Bridge is undefeated. We say it all the time.
Yeah.
She might have taken a little bit of a hit today on
this
one.
She's got a black eye.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. The Independence Avenue Bridge did not get a first-round knockout here. This truck came to play, and what?
It's just, I can't believe we're talking about it again.
And now, the
undisputed bridgeweight champion.
Imagine your standard trash dump truck with, you know, the huge compartment in the back for, you know, with the trash.
Yep.
The cab of the truck, by the way, the truck is basically on its left wheels.
Tilted
under the bridge.
Correct.
It took a whopping, but man, it took some of the bridge with it. And the cab of the Lawrence dump truck is wedged, and it is wedged underneath the Independence Avenue Bridge. The dump part of the truck is sticking out of the bridge. It never even got in there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you zoom in close to, and we have the Kansas City Fire Department Station 23's Facebook page up. If you zoom in on this picture, you can see some actual damage to the bridge.
What I want to know, and we've reached out to the Kansas City Fire Department, they're going to have to get structural people out there is my guess. Was that as a very old bridge already looking like that, or was this from today?
Well, it just happens to be right where the part of the cab is stuck. It looks like a big chunk of the bridge's pillar has been knocked out.
But that pillar is, what would you say, 18 inches by 18 inches of solid rebar and concrete.
Well, about 16 inches now.
Shaved a little off today.
Well, it did. But I don't know what else to say about the Independence Avenue Bridge other than...
That we have not said.
It's tougher than a box of nails. It really is. But it took a little bit of a beating today from this Lawrence dump truck. Probably this is the best fight it's ever had.
Why would it, and not that Lawrence dump trucks are not perfectly welcome in our fine town. Why would a dump truck from Lawrence, and this is a city truck, correct?
The side of the truck has the city's logo on it, and it says City of Lawrence on the driver's door.
All right. From the text line, that collision was a nine-wig boom boom.
Yeah, it was.
I mean.
Is there any way we could get somebody to describe that boom? That nine wig boom boom?
I don't know what else to say other than we are checking to see if this is the crash that is going to present some issues. Because you got to remember, a train goes over it. I mean, it has to be able to hold train cargo and traffic.
Yeah.
It was a big ass boom.
Yeah, it was. By the way, on the fire department's Facebook page, and I'm no structural engineer, I have no idea, and I would actually welcome some who know a thing or two about structural engineering and who have had a chance to look at Fire Department Station 23's Facebook page because they have a great close-up shot of one of the bridge pillars, and there is... I mean, look on the ground. Here's how you know it's from that pillar, Dana. Look at the left wheel of the dump truck.
There are chunks of concrete underneath.
Yeah, there are chunks of concrete right next to the wheel.
I happen to have a friend who is a structural engineer. Let me reach out and see, and not specifically to say yay or nay, but I do want to ask someone in that profession, how many times can one structure take a beating until it crumbles.
Or until you just say, nobody's allowed to hit this anymore. We're shutting down Independence Avenue underneath the bridge.
And make everyone
go around it.
Divert.
The problem with that is if you zoom in, or if you're familiar with that neighborhood, there are some businesses around the Independence Avenue bridge there, obviously. But not far from it, you start getting into some neighborhoods. And do you want everybody else's dump truck driving up and down your residential street?
Nope.
Everybody else's 18-wheeler driving up and down your neighborhood street? The answer is no.
These big trucks end up on that stretch of roadway because they're avoiding the interstate. There's multiple interstates that will take you around that bridge, or not multiple, but one. There's multiple paths to get around that bridge, and people want to take the shortcut, so they
find
themselves stuck under the bridge.
Is that not, if I'm not mistaken, an extension of 40 Highway? Am I wrong about that?
I believe it's 24?
Maybe it's 24, okay. Either one. I mean, it is technically a highway, but we all know it's not. 576-7798, if you want to weigh in. The Independence Avenue Bridge remains undefeated, but man, it took a whipping today. This Lawrence dump truck probably gave it its toughest fight yet. A lot of people are pointing out the Lawrence City dump truck could have been on its way to be serviced. There are a lot of businesses in and around that area that do heavy truck service work.
The city of Lawrence wouldn't have a.
I don't know, but they do school buses, 18-wheelers, stuff like that. Somebody says there is basically no viable way around it, not if you are commercial traffic. Okay. Here's what else I know. If you're commercial traffic, there's no viable way through it.
Yeah, it's no longer a shortcut when you get stuck.
576-7798. We'll get to your calls, your comments in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. And she still stands undefeated. The Independence Avenue Bridge, though, took a beating today. First time she's ever been knocked hard. A Lawrence City trash truck ran into the Independence Avenue Bridge just before we took to the air today at 2 o'clock, and there is what appears to be, at least to one pillar of the Independence Avenue Bridge, some damage. Not nearly as much damage as to the trash truck. That thing got TKO'd. From the text line, you guys ever stop to think that the majority of those trucks in that area are making deliveries and stuff like that? They're not just trying to take a shortcut from one place to the other. Yes, I think most of the trucks that are in that area are doing local deliveries and have every right and every business to be there. But the people who get stuck under that bridge are not your local delivery guys. They know better. What we have seen this year is a moving truck. We've now seen a garbage truck from the city of Lawrence. There was one not too long ago that I believe was out of Illinois. These are shortcut takers or people who are just following along with GPS and cannot read signs. By the way, the trash truck was on its way to be serviced.
Okay.
And somebody writes in 8692. It is a trash truck from Lawrence, and it was going to get service. It got serviced all right. Mayor Quentin Lucas responded to the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department's Facebook page with pictures, and he just said, please read signs.
12 foot yesterday, 12 foot today.
Ashley in Kansas City, hello.
Hey, Scott and Dana, you guys need to check out the Northeast News Facebook page. They've got more pictures.
They're hilarious.
About a mile and a half east of that bridge is a place called Custom Truck. They reported that's actually where the driver was heading to get the truck serviced at the time. He says he saw it, but he just couldn't stop in time. He was following his GPS. I almost guarantee it. All he would have had to do was stay on I-70, then go north on 435, and he would have been right there. And, Scott, you are right. It's 24 highway.
But Ashley,
following the GPS.
Every single time this happens to a truck, which is weekly, they're almost there. Do you know what I mean? Like, this has happened so many times. And I understand if you're coming in from Lawrence or out of town, you probably don't know. There is no excuse at this point for any local truck driver to have this happen, because the amount of news that this has created around town is insane. It has its own Facebook page.
Yeah, all of us local drivers know about it, but I think it was the one before this or maybe the one before that. They had just rented that truck off of Front Street in 435. He didn't even make it 5-10 miles. It was somebody following their GPS, just like that guy in mid-Missouri a few years back that ended up taking out that bridge because he was following his GPS.
Yeah.
These drivers have to pay attention. It's not just your GPS, and you have to know how tall your truck is. You know, it's not an easy job, and I understand that more than anybody, but you have to be vigilant out here on these roads or else somebody's going to end up dead.
Yep. All right, Ashley, let me stop you there.
Let's get to our favorite civil and environmental engineer, Robin Andercheck, who joins us, I assume, from the great University of Kansas. That's where we usually find her, and if not, Robin, I apologize. But thank you for replying on such short notice. I know your expertise is not structural. But how do bridge inspections and this type of damage, how does it work when a structure is struck again and again and again?
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to talk to you. Yes, damages and collisions can cause cumulative changes in a bridge. And after a major hit, it should be looked at by a licensed structural engineer who's trained to look at how the bridge was originally constructed and to inspect for small fractures that might not be seen or large fractures that are now being seen and how that's going to affect the structural integrity. So a major hit like this would recommend that a structural engineer look at it.
One of the questions we've had all along, Robin, because this thing's been struck about 100 times in the last year, is that when it comes to structural integrity of any kind, not just with the bridges, is it always the big chunks and cracks that you need to worry about? Or are there things that you, as a layperson, you know, Scott and I would not be able to see that would signal trouble if a certified inspector isn't looking at it?
There are definitely microscopic things that can be happening because on the surface, you could be losing pieces of concrete, but you don't see the steel that is reinforcing that concrete. And you could be causing damages to that steel. It's essentially the skeleton of the bridge and a structural engineer knows how to detect those types of changes.
I don't expect you to be able to comment on the strike that hit the bridge today. Suffice it to say, and we'll get into this in just a moment, but there are inspectors on the scene right now, and according to the Northeast Kansas City News, they were overheard saying this is the hardest hit the bridge has taken in a long time. Is it possible they would have to just completely, at least temporarily, shut down traffic underneath that bridge for a while?
The structural engineers have the authority to do that.
Got it. Last question. And this is an engineering question, not necessarily a bridge question. They have said because of flooding, Robin, it is impossible where this bridge sits. People keep saying, why not dig underneath it? Dig under the street so that there's more room for trucks and cars to get under. That creates flooding problems. It would be a deadly flooding problem if you dug out underneath this bridge. I don't know that there's a way to raise a railroad bridge. The train traffic goes above it. I'm curious, in the engineering world, when there is a structure like this that is problematic, there are certainly brilliant minds out there that might be able to figure out, but most of the people we've heard from, Robin, say you can't dig underneath it because of flooding. You can't raise it because of the train traffic. I don't know what you do with these structures that have this issue that have been around, you know, 80 years or so.
I do agree. By digging it out and causing flooding issues, you can damage the structural integrity of the bridge because the foundations into the ground make a big difference. So maybe we just need people to stop hitting it.
Oh, there's a brilliant idea.
This is why we love you, Robin. Thank you, as always, for your expertise.
My pleasure.
All right, be well. Let me read to you from Kansas City's Northeast News. They're the best to follow when it comes to the bridge strikes. They write, with plenty of pictures if you want to check it out on Facebook, this could have been the one. Apparently, this City of Lawrence trash truck driver did not believe the 12-foot sign. Quote, I saw the sign, but it was too late, he said. Rail inspectors are on the scene evaluating the bridge. We overheard the conversation that this was the worst hit in a long time. Given the pile of concrete and debris, the jury is still out, folks. The driver was not injured. 6 inches in the other direction could have been a disaster. They were taking the truck to Custom Truck One Source for a service appointment. Almost made it. We're giving the unofficial win to the bridge until we hear back from the railroad.
I want to hear what Kathy has to say, calling in from Independence quickly, and then we will discuss that more on the other side if this is true.
We've got to get to the news. So, Kathy, you hang tight. We're going to get to you next, and then Kurt and the others. We'll get to everybody. The Independence Avenue Bridge remains undefeated after a City of Lawrence trash truck hit it today, but the damage is not good to the bridge. There are some chunks of concrete were knocked off of the bridge today, one of the pillars that was hit by this trash truck. 576-7798. Quick break for the news here on Dana and Parks.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're just tuning in. The Independence Avenue Bridge did win. We're going to have to go back and look at the tape, though. The bridge may have been damaged today when a City of Lawrence dump truck, right before the show began today, struck the bridge and struck it hard, really hard. There are engineers on the scene. Obviously, you can't get underneath the Independence Avenue Bridge right now while they clean up said scene. But this is barely a win for the Independence Avenue Bridge today. She may have taken a licking today. Kathy in Independence. Kathy, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I was down, drove down 24 Highway going west. Somebody's blowing their horn beside me. 2 weeks ago, and I noticed that the first sign that says it was a 12-foot bridge ahead was not there. That was before the intersection. They'd been there before, because I've seen it numbers of times driving down that way. The second sign is way too close to the bridge.
Right.
That says a 12-foot bridge is there. The city needs to look and see if that first sign is being taken.
Okay, real quick, can you describe the first sign, and is it like 100 yards prior to the bridge, and is it more of a standard street sign? Like, what does it look like, and where is it in location to the bridge?
It's a yellow sign that says 12-foot bridge. It's 12, and then foot, and then ahead. And the head is still there, but this is before the stop light, and I wish I can remember the intersection, but it's right there where the Hardee's is, the Aldi's. There's a couple other stores in that area.
I'm looking it up.
So I wish I can remember the name of it. I used to work down that way.
All right, Kathy, do appreciate the call. We should point out that the sign is on the bridge today.
No. That's not what she's talking about.
She's talking about the sign away from the
bridge. She is not talking about the sign that is on the bridge, because by the time that you see that sign, you're already in it. She's talking about the warning sign that looks like a more standard street sign 100, 200 yards prior.
Okay.
And if we need anything in this town around that bridge, it's more signage, not less.
Yeah, from what we've been told, there are multiple signs leading up to the bridge, all the way up to, I've heard, an eighth mile out.
They need something that's going to grab your attention. You know, maybe a billboard with a scantily clad woman.
I told you the tin cans is the best thing to do. You string them up over there, and it says, if you hit these cans, you are going to hit that bridge.
That's a lot of wordage on a signage.
Remember, the 11-foot 8 bridge in Durham, North Carolina, put a stoplight at the bridge, so people had to stop. They would stop and then would proceed to run into the bridge. There is no amount of signage or lights or anything that are going to make people.
What is the cross street of the Independence Avenue Bridge? You
I'd
guys know?
I'd have to look.
Because
it up.
The Hardee's, I'm trying to figure out how close that sign would have been. Or if you know, just text in.
Let's go to Kurt in Lenexa. Kurt, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, guys. I got my quick trip key. Life is good.
Good.
I'm glad I'm not the lawyer for the City of Lawrence.
Yeah.
I have a hefty insurance bill. I commonly refer to that bridge as El Destructo because it keeps a licking and keeps on ticking.
It's like a Timex.
And unfortunately, I think I'm going to be with the engineers. I'm siding with them. They're going to have to close this thing that a pillar fell off or, you know, chunks of concrete falling off of the thing. You know, the Golden Gate, San Francisco has the Golden Gate Bridge. Kansas City has the Independence Avenue Bridge.
Right.
My thing is this. I would tell Sam, Stevie, and some of those folks at Kansas City at the engineering department, guys, why don't we develop some sort of sensor system, stick it underneath the pavement, something that is more that is heavy, that does not, you know, certain trucks, whatever ones it might be, local ones, as you said, Scott, they know better. But the ones that are out of town, if they install some sort of sensor in the walls, in the pavement or something, and sound something off, says you're too big, do a turn around or something, I would think that would help. Signing and marking can only do so much, but if they would put a sensor system, they could have put that in like 5 years ago, and it would save us enough trouble. They wouldn't have to close the street down and, you know, and everything else. And the ideas that you were talking about earlier about digging, no, there's no way. As much as that bridge floods and the Leeds plant and Brush Creek and everything else, there's no way that they can dig under it.
All right, man. Hey, Kurt, always good to hear your voice. Somebody says that the bridge is basically at Wilson Road.
Okay.
Somebody else says Belmont is on the west side.
Got it.
Choteau is on the right, if you're familiar with that. And the Hardee's is at Independence Avenue and Winter Road. Okay. All right. Let's go to Bruce in Raytown. Bruce, hello.
Well, I'm a baby boomer, and we pretty much learned how to read when we were kids. But all these younger generation people, the boomers, the I don't know what they call them, Gen X or whatever. You know, that bridge has been there ever since I can remember, and I've gone under it probably 10,000 times, and on motorcycles and cars and different kind of trucks and trucks hauling, you know, U-Haul trucks and stuff like that. But, you know, I've never seen anybody hit it until recently. And it's just these young people can't read. That's all.
Well, but Bruce, some of the drivers who have been involved in these crashes, for lack of a better word, are older seasoned drivers. Mm-hmm. These, to my recollection, I don't remember the last time we said it was like a 24-year-old kid that smashed into the bridge. I think these are mostly older drivers.
Well, a 40-year-old could be an older driver,
I guess.
Well, I'm saying it's not. You mentioned Gen X or Y or Z. I don't think these are the kids we're talking about crashing into the bridge.
These aren't 20-somethings.
Okay.
This is.
I don't think age has anything to do with it. I really don't.
I think I've got it figured out.
Oh, do tell.
I think it's people loading up their destination into GPS, and GPS is taking them under the bridge.
Yeah, well, the quickest route. Yeah.
Okay, but something cannot be added to GPS that this is a high crash area for trucks.
One would think that you could say. Go ahead, Sam.
Google Maps doesn't know what you're driving.
That's a fair point. Google Maps just knows that you're trying to get from point A to point B, and that happens to be the quickest route. It doesn't say, well, are you driving a large dump truck from the city of Lawrence, or are you driving a personal vehicle?
Before continuing with your navigation, please enter vehicle's height.
But I don't recall, and you and I have been in this town a long time, Dana. I recall the occasional strike on the Independence Avenue Bridge. I don't ever recall. And I've been at this radio station since 96. I know you've been in town for more than 20 years. I don't ever recall this frequency of trucks hitting that bridge. The only thing I can think of is it has to be GPS.
Yeah, for two solid years, we've been seeing multiple. By the way, Scott, from the text line, you know what that bridge needs? Altitude.
Well, yeah, it does. Rise above it.
I'm going to do the math between Independence Avenue on... because I want to get a better idea of these signs, between the Hardee's, which is at Winter Road,
right,
and the bridge, which is at Wilson. And I think we're talking not very far, but far enough to warn. You know what I'm saying? Far enough that they've thought about this at the city level. And I'm going to be honest, if those signs have been stolen or removed,
Yeah.
I don't know that the sign on the bridge makes a darn bit of good. By the time you see that, you are in it.
Let's go to Jim in Chillicothe. Jim, hello.
How are you doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
Well, what I was saying is when you go through, I don't drive a rig no more, I used to, but when you go through your classes, your safety classes, driving classes, one of the first things they teach you is to read all signs. I mean, you're hauling weight, you got height, everything. You should be reading all these signs. I don't understand how they're not able to catch it before they even get there.
But, Jim, there's like 100 signs probably right there. There's probably pedestrian crossing. There's probably
Speed limit.
You know, there are signs all around us. Can you really read every single one of them? This needs to be flashing.
When you're driving a rig, your job is to make sure you're reading those yield signs and those caution signs.
Yeah. I mean,
you need to know that if you're allowed in that neighborhood, you need to know your weight limit when you go over bridges. It's something that should be coming common with these guys. And when you're driving, you're supposed to, try to look for a way out. You're supposed to scan the road. That's your job to keep an eye on those signs.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if they're just getting lazy or if these old guys are just getting looked where they don't think they have to or what. And then also, I know that Google's Maps doesn't tell you, heights and whatnot, but I'm pretty sure the Garmins and stuff like that, you can type that you're in a rig and it'll tell you what roads not to go down, and it'll tell you where your clearances are. I just don't understand. I've been across bridges where I've had to stop, take a different way because my truck was overweight. Like I was out in Kentucky one time.
Sure.
And had to do that because of road construction. I just don't understand how they're smacking into it.
Let me ask you this, Jim.
If these guys are veterans, then they should know.
The sign that she was referring to that she claims was missing, and we've got emails out to the police department to see if it is still missing, would have been 0.3 miles away from that Hardee's to the bridge is just that. I mean,
Third of a mile.
Third of a mile.
Yeah. 576-7798. As people have opined on the text line about using railroad crossing signs, having some sort of detection system that if you have a truck of a certain height, that the arms would come down and basically stop you. I don't know how to be more clear. I mean, the signs flash. There are lights on the signs begging you to pay attention.
We are surrounded by flashing, dingy-lingy things all the time.
But
I think we're desensitized to it unless it's going roop, roop, and it's in your rearview mirror.
You have to consider there's a steep downhill slope on either side of this bridge. So as you approach the bridge, you're looking directly eye level at the 12-foot sign, and then you start to go down the hill and you hit the bridge.
576-7798. We'll get to more of your calls, your comments in just a moment. Dave, Chris, Adam, you guys hang tight. You're next here on Dana and Parks. One recommendation that came in just a moment ago from a texter was look up waterfall stop sign. Have you guys ever heard of these things? They put them on under bridges, on roads underneath bridges, and it's basically a mirage almost stop sign.
Oh, it is the mirage
they
that
use
you
lighting.
See. I don't know. They have it in the Dallas airport. They have it in Vegas. It's fancy lighting
and they do use water.
Yeah.
So you would have to create, and it's a gigantic stop sign. It's probably about 8 to 9 feet tall.
It's usually art.
That is lit up onto a very thin waterfall. Now, you would have to completely recycle the water over and over again, but you get my point.
Scott and I got in a mind-boggling directional conversation during the break, and you know that that's never a good thing when I'm talking about directions. Is it your understanding, everyone listening, that the trucks are always hitting this east to west and not west to east? Think of all of the pictures we've seen of the damage over the last couple of years. Are the trucks always hitting it on one side? And if so, why? Why would they not be still 12 feet on the other side? Why are they only hitting it on the one side of traffic?
Well, and we looked up where this this dump truck from Lawrence was apparently headed. It was headed to Custom Truck Repair, whatever it's called, and that is east of the bridge.
Right.
So one would think that there that this truck must have hit it on the west side of the bridge.
And then my question is, are all of the trucks hitting it on the west side of the bridge? And then if so, why?
I don't know.
Why would you not have an equal number of trucks hitting it on going east the other way?
Well, one reason might be that people who are just doing deliveries in that area know about the bridge, that the only people who are actually going, who are hitting the bridge might be coming from the west because they're going to Custom Truck and they're coming in from places like Lawrence or Topeka or whatever to get their truck fixed.
Go to Chris because his grandma used to live around there, and I'm curious what he has to say about the directional component of this conversation. Chris, hi.
Hi, Dana. Hi, Scott.
Hi.
Hey, are you on speaker? You're really hard to hear.
Yeah, hang on. Just a second.
There you go. Now we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my grandmother lived over there, and the last time this happened and I called, you guys sort of poked fun at me because I said it didn't happen very often for a long time until recently the numbers are way up. But typically it happens from east to west, because that railroad bridge divides the portion of Independence Avenue that is industrial, where the plant used to be, Armco. And on the west side, Independence Avenue runs through residential areas.
Okay.
So the big trucks coming off the highway from 435 are coming east to west.
Got it.
They hit it.
And explain this. Coming off of 435 then, do you have an opportunity to see some of the signs warning you prior to the bridge?
Oh, yeah.
You do? Okay.
There are all kinds of signs, and then there are two huge flashing lights sitting on top of each other on the middle abutment of the bridge that are super bright. I mean, even in the brightest sunlight, you see them. But the bad thing about coming east to west is you get in a stretch of road where it flattens out after you have a very difficult, twisty drive, and so it makes you relax. And so you may think you see the signs, and you see all the cars ahead of you going under the bridge, and again, it's not until the last 50 feet the giant 12-foot sign across the bridge sits to let you know that you're going to hit the bridge.
Now, sorry to interrupt you, Chris. I beg your pardon. Are we right to assume that, yes, trucks have been hitting the bridge since trucks were more than 12 feet tall and the bridge was built, but it seems to be with greater frequency lately?
Yeah, and I think you're right about it being GPS and people depending upon that so much. Mm. And the reason they don't hit so many times from west to east, there's a stoplight just before the bridge, and then it's a steep downhill run toward the bridge. So the signs are literally at eye level, and you can't miss them going west to east most of the time. So from the east to the west, it's flat, and the bridge sort of disappears, and the body of the bridge is sort of in it creates a lot of shade right there. So it's just hard to see how high it is until, it's, like you say, it's too late. And the bad thing about it is that is the main northern exit for the UP coming out of the east bottom or the north bottom yards there. And so it's a double track, and I don't know how they'd be able to shut that down, because that's their main way to get out of Kansas City going north.
Right. Here's what I know, and I agree with almost everything Chris said. There is no way with this many people making the same mistake that there is not some design flaw involved in the conversation. And by design flaw, I don't necessarily mean the bridge. I mean the signage. It's too frequent to just blame the drivers. Is it the driver's fault? Yes.
Oh, boy. I think a major component is drivers.
Yes, 100%. Let's say 75%, I'm going to go with this is on the drivers.
Okay.
The other 25, there has to be something the city has done or not done to lead to this staggering number.
Here's my biggest fear, and I'm being serious for a second about the Independence Avenue Bridge. It took a beating today from this trash truck from Lawrence. It won, but it took a beating.
You want to be in a train over it right now, today?
I was just going to say, what happens when there is enough damage And hopefully all these engineers are really good at what they do, and they know, okay, we got to shut the bridge down. No more train traffic over that bridge. God forbid that bridge ever collapses while there is a train going over those tracks. God forbid.
And a lot of people on the text line are referencing the need for sirens. There's too many residential areas around the bridge.
How do you like deliver work right
there? There are homes in that area. There's no way that's going to work. Quick break for the news. She's Dana Wright. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. And my name is Scott Parks. Here on KMBZ, we'll see you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.